So thanks for sticking around. As you can see, my research specialist, Nora Rodriguez-Uribe, was supposed to be here, but she got a back problem, could not sit in the fan for more than 2 hours. So you know, she had to make me to do her work here. So this is her work, and of course I'm not doing too much. In collaboration with Ed Hughes from the USDA Southwest Cotton Ginning Lab. Drought is, I think, one of the most serious biotic problems among most of those natural disasters. As you can see here, this is right before the Christmas Eve. Get this information from USDA. As you can see, we still have a lot of areas with serious drought in the United States, especially southwest, west regions. Of course, we have a lot of patches in some other regions, such as I think it's Texas and some other part of the area, which, you know, is not our concern because no cotton is, you know, is there. So as far, of course, drought not only caused a lot of yield loss, also causes a lot of societal problems. So as we can see from this slide, in fact, drought is the most serious natural disasters, one of the most disaster. On annual basis, yield loss due to drought ranged from $6 to $8 billion a year in the United States, more than flood and hurricane. We know hurricane was bad last year. I think Houston, I don't know if it came to San Antonio's. I was trying to also get some information from New Mexico, since I'm a breeder for New Mexico. So unfortunately, I could not during the bed break. So I have to borrow some information from other states. I'm sorry for you guys from Texas, from Georgia, and California. As you can see here, drought in Texas could be a real problem. For example, in 1998, it cost $500 million yield loss. Georgia, more than $160 million yield loss in 2007. California, even though cotton acreage has gone down a lot, but last year still it cost more than $60 million yield loss just from cotton. So it's a drought is a huge problem. Of course, in New Mexico, I think also is a problem. So if of course, as we know, during this build-wide conferences, we have seen a lot of interest and the research going on in drought tolerance and maybe need to be the drought tolerance breeding. So if we can develop some method, efficient method to identify those drought tolerant genes and develop those genes into molecular markers, so we can use those markers to assist us in our cotton breeding program. So I think this is one of our purposes in our breeding program. So today, what I'm going to talk is about is to use microarray technology to identify genes that might differentially expressed during drought stress in upland cotton. The material we will use was Arcana 157799, planted on May, I think, 7, and in the University Farm, 9-acre Plant Science Research Center, very close to Las Cruces, New Mexico. We have a paired comparison with relatively large plot size and 4-row plots, 3 replications. So now the drought stress was applied by delayed irrigation. So under normal irrigation conditions, we had three irrigations, including pre-planting irrigation, planting irrigation, and little bit of after months, we have another irrigation. Whereas with drought stress regime, we have only the first two irrigations. So we didn't have the third irrigation. So we had one, but it was like a few weeks after June the 17th. So right after the leaf tissues were harvested for RNA extraction, some plant characteristics, including plant height, nodes, and fresh weight were also measured. So for the network in terms of the RNA extraction and microarray, so the about 10 plants from each replications, each replication were harvested, and then with RNA isolated. So then those RNAs were isolated, the RNAs were pooled in the equal monomer ratio to based on treatment to make cDNA and microarray analysis. So it's, for those of you who were here yesterday, one of my graduate students had a beautiful presentation with regards to the microarray technologies. So I do not intend to be a molecular biologist, so I'm going to skip those slides. So if you can forgive me. But what I do want to say is about the qRT-PCR. So after we got differentially expressed genes identified from the gene chips, so we have to select some of those genes for verification. So for our current study, so 25 differentially expressed genes from the gene chips were selected for qRT-PCR, quantitative RT-PCR analysis. So in this case, we have three biological replicates and replications, and we also have three technical replicates. So let's see some results. So when you look at this table, you will see that the delayed irrigation did have some effect in reduced plant growth. So as you can see, fresh weight, number of fruits per plant, number of floating branches per plant, and the plant height, you know, had about 10 to 20% reduction in the delayed irrigation treatment. However, at this time we did not see much reduction effect from drought on the number of nodes per plant. I think that's what I expected actually. So from this peak, you can see that quite a difference is between normal irrigation regime and the delayed irrigation treatment. So as we know, out of 854 genes from the cotton gene chips, a total of about 111 differentially expressed genes were identified, including 89 genes that were downregulated and 21 genes that were upregulated. So NORA is still in the process of analyzing those differentially expressed genes since she joined my program last June, so it's just a little bit over 6 months. She was able to put some of those genes together and in different categories. As you can see here, some of those differentially expressed genes belong to lipid metabolism, some are related to transcription, some are related to cell wall biosynthesis, and some are related to pronin biosynthesis, and many of them are related to stress-related genes, including a lot of head short proteins. So I think many of those genes, you know, were really expected based on studies from other crops, other plant species. This picture shows some of the RT-PCR results. So you can, as you can see, between normal irrigation conditions and drought stress conditions, some of those four genes were upregulated. So so of those 25 genes that we tested for QRT-PCR, as you can see here, the expression level based on microarray and then the expression level based on QRT-PCR most of the time was consistent. So we look at the slope and look at the coefficient of correlation. So it's significant, statistically significant. We have 25 data points here. So as I said, this is an ongoing process. So we still have a lot of work to do, including classifying those 110 differential expressed genes into different categories based on gene functions, biological process, and the cellular components. Of course, we also need to choose some of those genes to look at the expression dynamics during different time period of drought stress. And that would need to be done in the greenhouse under well-controlled conditions. And of course, we also need to do a comparative gene sequence analysis so we can develop polymorphic function markers. Once those polymorphic markers are developed, of course, those markers will be used in our breeding program, so we can through QTR analysis. So possibly some of those genes could be co-localized with some of the QTRs responsible for drought tolerance. So we got some folks. So we need. So here, one way or another, they perhaps have provided the help assistance. Also, before I stop, I also would like to thank the funding agencies, including USDA, ARS, and Carter Incorporated for the financial support. As I said, I still have 1 minute left. I'm sorry, a little bit over 10 minutes. So I didn't deliver my promise.
We have several minutes for questions, if anyone has one.
Yeah, Mac. From the functional leaves, I think it is from the she and I went to the field to connect the leaf tissues, so it's the third leaf from the topmost, folded leaf. This Arcana 1517-99. Yeah, I'm not going to use other varieties. Yeah. Yeah.
Since you did the experiment in the field, how do you know that the differences in gene expression you saw weren't due to some other environmental factor?
That's a really good question. I believe some of those genes are going to be false positive. However, we do have three field replications. Okay, number one. What are some of those replications? Rep 1, rep 2, rep 2. From those two treatments, they are paired. So through this type of design, we can minimize those random experiment errors. There might be some systematic errors, but not much random experiment errors. Number one, number two. Through QRT-PCR, we also for each and every RNA example we have three technical replicates. However, for microarray, we put on examples together because, as you know, it's very expensive to do it. So microarray analysis is just, you know, initial discovery. So you have to, after you get the gene list, and you have to go through all of the different, you know, bioinformatics to, so you can identify a bunch of genes that might be a good candidate for further studies and the confirmation.
Okay, let's thank Dr. Zhang.